We used to go down to my parents in Sidmouth after all the Christmas activities were over, and they'd invariably book us in at the pantomime. And it didn't seem to me matter what the pantomime was called. The same characters appeared doing and saying pretty much the same things at pretty much the same moments every single year. And that's because we understand how pantomimes work, don't we? We know what happens in fairy tales. The beautiful princess, the charming prince, or the ugly toad live in a land far, far away. And then they lived happily ever after. All sorts of improbable characters show up, don't they? Dwarves, women with very long hair, often made of gold, people who sleep a lot, geese laying golden eggs, giants living up beanstalks, children who never grow up. Well, that bit's very believable, isn't it? They try on slippers. That's not unusual. I got some slippers yesterday. That's good. They poison apples. Not so good. Disguise themselves as grandmas. You might want to check that out later. Look into magic mirrors. That always helps. They climb high. They travel far. They love, they live, they die, and some even come back to life, don't they? And after all that, they live happily ever after. Now, for many people, the Christmas story is just like a fairy tale. We bring it out once a year. We have a sort of a look and a listen. We suspend our disbelief for a short time. But then we just get back to normal. School takes over, work takes over, life takes over, and it has no impact on our lives whatsoever. And of course, there are some strange people in the Christmas story, aren't there? There are priests, there are shepherds, and there are angels. There are some strange goings on. There are dreams. There's a virgin giving birth. And there are stars. And of course, there is also life and death. But what about living happily ever after? How does that fit in? Well, of course, if Christmas and the first Christmas story, as we've heard it read to us briefly this morning, if that had been a fairy story, then of course we'd have forgotten it by now. It would have got nowhere, because there were plenty of people around who witnessed those events, and certainly who saw the events of Jesus' later life. They would have rubbished it. It would have disappeared. So let's look at one verse from the Bible, just nine words from that one verse that tell us about the who and the where and the why of the Christmas story. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let's think about the who. Well, it's not about a charming prince. It's not about a beautiful princess. It's not about an ugly toad. At the centre of the Christmas story, the who of the Christmas story, is Christ Jesus. Now, Christ Jesus isn't a Christian name and a surname, not like we've had sort of Gemma and John O'Chalklin. Christian name, surname. It's not like that. It tells us who he is and what he came to do. Christ simply means king, God's long-promised king. And Jesus means rescuer or savior. So the crown reminds us that Jesus is king. The cross tells us how Jesus did that rescue, who he was and what he came to do. What about the where of the Christmas story? Well, not in some fantasy fairy tale land. But here, this is a map of Palestine in the first century. There's Nazareth and there's Bethlehem. Real places on a real map that people really lived in. And as we heard from Luke chapter 2, as Gemma read, we learnt about Caesar Augustus, who was emperor of Rome between those dates. We also heard about Quirinius, who was governor of Syria, and about a census, a registration where everyone in the Roman Empire was required to come so they knew who was there. These things really happened. Real people, real events, real places. This is history, and it makes sense. So we know the who, Christ Jesus. We know the where, into the world. Why was Christmas necessary? This group, the World Land Trust, they want to save the rainforest. This group, as they say, they want to save the whales. And that's what their intention is. And if they're any good at it, they may well succeed. But have a look round you this morning. Glance at your neighbours. Look behind you. I don't see many rainforests here this morning. I don't see many whales here this morning. Although there may be a few beached whale comments after we've all eaten too much later on. So that's these organisations, however good they may be, they're not necessarily very helpful for us. But what I do see, as I look at you this morning, some resplendent in Christmas presents or Christmas jumpers, what I do see is a load of sinners. I see people who tell lies. I see people who are selfish. I see people who have and maybe still do ignore God. Maybe choose to do the things God says don't do, like tell lies and be selfish. People who don't do the things God says do. Love Him, love other people. I see people who mock others who do follow Jesus. And I can say that very simply because A, it's true, and B, because I stand here as one who is just as selfish as you are. And that's why Christmas is such good news, isn't it? We're not rainforests. We're not whales. We are sinners. The very people Jesus came to help. And His rescue mission meant that He had nowhere to call home. He was deserted by His friends. He was betrayed. He was falsely accused. He was beaten. He was wrongly convicted. He was publicly humiliated. And He was nailed to a cross to die. Now that doesn't sound like living happily ever after to me. Does it to you? I can't imagine if you were to write down the things that would make a happy life, any of those things would appear on your list, would they? Not living happily ever after. But Jesus did that. He did all of those things because He loves us. And He did those things because that was the only way that He could do what He came to do, that He could rescue sinners. He suffered in dying on the cross in my place, taking the punishment that was due to me. Now, we said that those organizations were only useful if they're any good at what they did. Was Jesus good at what He did? Was He good at rescuing? Well, we know the answer to that because He didn't stay dead, because He rose from the dead. And He rose the dead because He was good at rescuing. He did what He came to do. And the resurrection tells us that. And again, there were people still alive when the documents were written telling about the resurrection. Therefore, we can be very confident that it happened. So let's remove that question mark. We don't need it anymore, do we? Yes, happily ever after is the end of this story. Because of what Jesus did, we can live happily ever after. We can be forgiven. We can know what it is to be free of guilt and shame. we can be friends with Jesus. And we can look forward to being with Jesus forever, safe through death to everlasting life. And for Jesus, while he suffered on earth, he now sits in the place of all power and glory and authority. He is the ruler over everything, the king of everyone. And if you put your trust in him this Christmas, then you can share with him life everlasting. You too can live happily ever after. Now, whenever people are talking about 2017 and looking ahead, pretty much everyone says we're heading into a pretty uncertain future. We don't quite know what 2017 is going to hold, but generally speaking, we don't think it's going to be particularly good. The uncertainty is not pleasant, is it? And I think that's one reason that fairy tales appeal to us. Fairy tales appeal to us because we know what happens. And we know that despite whatever happens, there will be a good outcome. Happily ever after. Well, Christmas is not just another fairy tale. It is about real people who live real lives in real places in real time. How much better then a true story that we can be sure of? A true story with a guaranteed good outcome. So our verse tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Good news for people like you and me, because we're invited to be part of this story. And because of what Jesus has done for us, we're invited to look forward to living happily ever after. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus came into this world, was born into this world to rescue people like us. Thank you for the good news of Christmas. Help us to hear that good news and help us to believe it and help us to live it in 2017 and help us to look forward to living happily ever after. Amen.